Acts chapter 16, verse 31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 25th, 2023. Today's topic with our studio guest, facilitated by Pastor Jason Schiffo, is "Who Are You Following?" And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16. And I opened up with Acts chapter 16, verse 31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Maybe as a little primer of who are we supposed to follow, but Jason will facilitate this discussion in just a moment. I do want to point out, we still have seats on our Champaign and Springfield bus to go up to the Pacific Guard Mission tomorrow. And so if you're interested, phone first to make sure, in case six people call right away and then the seats are taken. But there's a few seats on our Champaign bus and about 10 or so seats on our Springfield bus. So we're going to have two deluxe motor coaches leaving tomorrow morning. Champaign will leave around 11:30, 11:45. Springfield around 11:30. We'll head up to the Pacific Guard Mission and we're going to have a great time there with the tour. Then we're going to watch Unshackled presented, and then they'll play that production a few weeks later on the radio, so you'll be able to hear it again. And then we'll have dinner there, and then a great worship service which will include the singing men of GNN. So if you want to be a part of that, it's $50, and you can register at the website wluj.org or greatnewsradio.org. Look for the caption that has the Pacific Guard Mission, a big cross, and then you can find out all the information. So come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope you'll participate in that. The Pacific Guard Mission tour tomorrow, leaving the Springfield area around 11:30, leaving Champaign around 11:45, and make sure you register and get your $50 in. You can use your credit card or bring cash, but we need to account for you, so call first. And those of you that may have wondered if we were going to be off the air with 102.5 on Wednesday, because of the heat, the tower crew is going to be taking down the Twin Tower, I think, this coming week, and so there might be some brief periods where we're off the air, or the backup generator kicks on, and hopefully that's going to all work. But 102.5, maybe sometime this next week, may have a couple different gaps where it's off the air just briefly or temporarily while our backup generator comes back on. So be praying that up, and hopefully that Twin Tower will be brought down and it'll be done safely. And we're already established on the new tower next to it. So all is going well so far, so good. Okay, who are you following, Jason? This was a topic that came to your heart and mind. I know last week when we met, the topic changed right even before you got here. You had a certain topic you're going to share, and then because of people sharing different things, you said, "We're going to change the topic." So why, who are you following?
I forgot about that. That means that I had last week's thing we were going to talk about still sitting on my desk, and I never even looked at it. Oh my gosh. At some point, maybe that's for something. So today we're talking about who are you following. So let me ask you guys, who are you following?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
See, that's so easy because I'm in a room full of people who are Christians, and I got you all on the spot. So whenever we're in kind of those places and people say, "Who are you following?" Especially when we're in kind of churchy settings or the Christian radio station, everybody says Jesus, because 99.9% of the time when you say the name Jesus, you're right. But here's the problem. If somebody followed us around all day long, what would our actions say? Mm-hmm. Without us saying Jesus, would our actions say Jesus? Would our responses to difficulty and frustration and all the different things we encounter all day long, would that say Jesus, or would it say something else?
Well, I'm thinking, Jason, they've said, follow the checkbook. Where are we spending our money? You know, could those be our little gods or the things we're really chasing after?
Yeah, and many of us would say, we'd say, well, what are we filled with? We'd say the Holy Spirit. But I know a lot of people, like a tube of toothpaste, when they get squeezed, other stuff comes out. And so you have to be intentional about what it means to follow Jesus. You have to be intentional about who you're following. So I want to do this through Acts chapter 16, because I think Acts chapter 16 is pretty amazing in what it tells us that is happening, and also what it implies that's happening. And so if somebody would read the first few verses of Acts chapter 16, how about through verse 4?
Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium.
Yes, well, that's great. So he is who? Who do you think the he is?
Timothy.
No, the he in the beginning of that passage.
Oh,
it's Paul, yep.
Paul.
So Paul is on his second missionary trip, and he's been to these places before. It begins with Derbe and Lystra. He was there and had great success on his first missionary journey. So, of course, as he goes on his second missionary journey, he wants to stop back by, check in on these churches, and continue what God has already began there. Now, behold, whenever I read behold in the Bible, does anybody know what I like to say? Aha. If you want to know what the word behold means in the Bible, it means aha. But it's not aha like magic. It's aha like God is always at work. God is always doing something. So when Paul comes to Derbe and Lystra, a place where God has been at work before and continues to be at work, what does he find? God at work. Because behold, there's a certain disciple. There's a certain person who loves God named Timothy. And he's the son of a Jewish woman who believed. Believed in who?
God.
Jesus.
Yeah, believed in God. And so we've got this woman. And by the way, we also know from other texts that it's not only Timothy's mother who believes, but also Timothy's grandmother. So there's this lineage of belief that has been handed down to Timothy, first by his grandmother into his mother and his mother into him. And this is faith in the one true God. Why do we know that? Because his dad, we get a differentiation here that his dad is what?
Greek.
Greek, which means he's pagan. So there's something different between mom and there's something different between dad. And there's something different about Timothy. What do you think in the text there lets us know that there's something different about Timothy?
He's a disciple.
He was a disciple. What else?
In verse 2, it says he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium.
Exactly. So people were talking about him. People were talking about the ways that he carried himself and conducted himself. They were likely talking about his integrity and his character. They were talking about the fact that he walked the walk. He talked the talk. His actions were as important as what he said about him, right? Because the brethren are reporting this. The brethren are like, there's this guy, man, I'm telling you, all throughout the day. I mean, we just see God at work in his life. Mm-hmm. We see him following God. And so listen, if somebody was to say, does Timothy love God with all his heart, soul, and might? There's enough evidence here to convict him. He loves God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. And Paul's excited because Paul is always looking for people to do what?
To help him, go with him, work with him.
Yeah, to join the mission of loving God and loving people, to join the mission of following Jesus. But first, it says here that there's something that has to be done. That he takes them and he does. Does anybody see what it says there in the text?
Circumcised.
Now, circumcised. Now, why do you think he had to be circumcised?
Because he wasn't.
Okay, because he wasn't. Why else?
He was going to be around a bunch of Jews, and they probably would not have paid any attention to what he was saying, because they're like, you're an uncircumcised pagan.
Exactly. And so what Paul wanted was Paul was saying, listen, when you get around, and listen, first we have to go first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's the way this is going to work. Every time we go into a town, we're going to go to the synagogue first and speak to those people because those are God's chosen people. And we want them to hear this message, this life-changing message that God came in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. But he says, I don't want there to be any stumbling block when we get there. I don't want there to be anything that they want to talk about other than Jesus, because when we get around people, they want to try and find how they can talk about everything but Jesus, right? And so he wants to make sure there's no stumbling block. This is huge and important in this text right here for why Paul does this, because this is not legalism. This is not Paul trying to follow the rules. This is Paul saying that love is more important than legalism. This is Paul saying, you know, so often we want to say, well, what are the rules? What are the rules? What are the rules? Instead of us saying, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to lay down our lives so that people can hear what the gospel is? To lay down our desire to be comfortable, to do all those things. That's what, in Philippians 2, when it talks about Jesus coming, it's all about laying down life and sacrifice, isn't it? That he didn't count equality as with God something to be measured, but instead humbled himself. became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
And I think of those other passages where Paul talks about, you know, whether it's like drinking or eating food, if it causes somebody else to stumble, don't do it. You know, even mm-hmm. though you have the freedom to do certain things, don't do it to either model love or to extend something to somebody else, even if they have weaker faith.
Right.
Yeah. And in this instance, not doing it would have been a stumbling block.
Exactly. And so you have to look at that. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you ought to do it. You know, just because you can. And Paul says that later on. He says, listen, everything is beneficial, but not everything is profitable. And Jesus, when posed about the temple tax, he says to Peter, he says, listen, does the son of the king pay the tax? And he says, no way. He says, well, but so not to offend, let's go get the money and pay the tax. Mm-hmm. Because offense causes, listen, the gospel is offensive enough. We don't have to be offensive in addition to it.
Hey, Jason, I'm going to bring up something because I love when you've taught on this and talk about it. But I think you made this discovery on a trip to Israel one time. But that passage where you learned about not offending people, even though you could be right as to not offend, you chose to take the path less frequented. That one passage where, so as not to offend, mm-hmm. I'm going to give up my right, even yeah. though I could be right.
Yeah, listen, Jesus was sinless, and yet he died on the cross. He bore this thing that all of us deserve, and he took it upon himself. And so the life of Christ is rooted in sacrifice. It's rooted in, so not to offend, let me bear the burden. Let me carry the burden. It's his invitation. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened. And we would say to that, like, my gosh, get away, because I'm trying to keep comfortable, you know, and calm. So this goes on to say, and somebody read where it begins, and the Holy Spirit, maybe some of your texts might say forbid, or the Holy Spirit kept. Can you begin there in that in Acts chapter 16? Holy Spirit forbid Paul to go.
Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Yeah. And so when you read this, most of our texts say Asia. And so we think Asia, we think like the Orient, we think of that. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about Ephesus.
Yeah, Turkey.
And, yeah, Ephesus and Turkey, yep. And so Paul wants to go down there. Does anybody know why Paul would want to go to Ephesus, why he'd want to go to Turkey?
Because he'd been there before. He'd set up a bunch of churches.
Okay. Why else would he want to go there?
Important cities or...
Okay, important cities, yep. And they were along trade routes. He understood intuitively that if he went there and began to preach the gospel would blow up. Like, it would go crazy. People would take it all over the place. Like, he was thinking strategically in his mind, if I go down there to Asia and to Bithynia and that, and I preach the gospel, this thing is going to go bonkers. Everybody's going to hear about Jesus. It's going to be amazing. And then something crazy happens here, right? Because Paul's got a great plan. I'm going to go to Ephesus. I'm going to go to Turkey. I'm going to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit forbids it. Mm. The Holy Spirit keeps him from going. Now, what does Paul do? Does Paul argue and go, yeah, but God, I got a better plan. Yeah. It's called Ephesus. This is my Ephesus, you know, movement. Whatever we like to name things. You know, whenever we want to do something, we want to give it a cool name so that we can get people to rally around it. But what does Paul do?
Change of plans. I got a vision. God said, come to Macedonia. That's where we're going, guys. Pack it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting here in the NIV version, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that funny? Because the Spirit of Jesus wants to keep him from going to a place where the name of Jesus would blow up and be known by everybody. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? In this moment, let's just be honest. In this moment, how easy would it be for Paul to follow Paul rather than Paul to follow Jesus?
It would be very easy, just like we do.
Sure. And Paul could rationalize it and go, yeah, but I'm doing it for Jesus.
Yep.
But I got a great plan and I want to... No. Listen. The Spirit of God is the one who directs our work. The preaching of Jesus is nothing unless you're following the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus into what that preaching is. Because God has ordained every moment. God says, I'm going to give you every place that you will put your foot. But God, built into that is this idea that where you put your feet will be where God will have you put it because you're following him. It's not him following you, or it's not a partnership where you're, you know, elbow to elbow and you're like, God, I'm glad we're in this together. And God's like, I don't know, I created the universe. Doesn't seem like it's equally yoked. And so Paul says, wait a second. Holy Spirit doesn't want me to go there. What am I going to do? I'm not going to go there. You know why? Because he wanted God to ordain the right person at the right place in the right time. He wanted it to be God directed. Because he knew, Paul knew, he had enough stuff kind of in his journal and in his memory that where God guided, God provided. And that where God was leading, his power was at work. He saw it. That's the beginning of this passage in Derbe and Lystra. And then outgoing there where God was at work, what does he immediately do? Behold, there was a disciple who Paul needs to bring on the mission that God has already there for him. And so Paul wants to be where God wants him to be, where God is leading and guiding and directing. And listen, if you say that that's what you want, then that means that your plans are secondary to God's plans. Even if they're good, even if they're amazing, even if they're going to cause the gospel to blow up and go across the world. By the way, here's an amazing thing. Because Tad told us that there was a man from Macedonia that appeared to Paul and he said, listen, I need you to go over here. In fact, the Bible even says, he says, come over to Macedonia and help us. What kind of help do you think they need in Macedonia from Paul? What kind of help do we all need?
Help from Jesus.
Yeah. They need the gospel.
And understanding the gospel.
Yeah. By the way, when Paul goes to Macedonia and he begins to preach there, did anybody know that he's the first missionary to Europe? He's the first person to bring the gospel to Europe. And it blows up across Europe. See, Paul had a plan, but God had another plan. And God's plan was even bigger than Paul's plan. And Paul wanted to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow him rather than follow himself. This almost had to be an amazing moment in the life of Timothy, where Timothy is like taking notes and he's like, okay, good plan, not what God wants, we follow God. This is a great moment for Timothy as a disciple. Because in our day and age, when we have kind of like a high impact leader like Paul, we'd be like, oh, go get him, Paul, go get him, go get him. And here, Timothy doesn't get to witness the pride of Paul. He gets to witness the humility of Paul, which means that Jesus is at work because Jesus is never prideful. Jesus is always a humble and sacrificial servant.
You know, Jason, I'm thinking as we're saying and praying the Lord's Prayer at noon, that portion of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Basically, we're surrendering our will, our plan, our purpose to say, okay, Lord, not my will, but thy will. So there's that surrendering, that submission.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, talk about submission. Look at Timothy. There's other places in the Bible where it talks about adult men got circumcised. It was debilitating. Mm-hmm. This guy comes along, this stranger shows up and goes, hey, dude, you're going to get this. And he agrees.
Yeah, that's a feat of God, right?
this is serious commitment here. Yeah. You know, we think that, you know, if you're called to go out and evangelize and, you know, you're going to travel around first class, you're going to get a limo, people are going to be waiting on you. Nobody said anything about debilitating surgery that's going to leave you in pain for days. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, let's do this. I'm committed.
So one last amazing point here in the text, and I think this one often gets missed. And this has to do with Paul following God, not following himself, because God has a greater plan than we can even know and we can even see. Paul didn't know he was going to become the first missionary to Europe. He had no idea for that. But as Paul changed directions from going to Asia and Bithynia to Turkey and Ephesus, but going over to Macedonia, Paul runs into somebody. Does anybody know who he runs into?
The Lydia?
No. Who does he run into? Does anybody know? It's very subtle and it gets missed. See, it says immediately we sought to go. The text changes midway through here from they to we because they pick up Luke. And so Luke joins them on the missionary journey. So listen, how about this? If Paul didn't follow God and change directions, we may not have the book of Acts because Luke travels with Paul and begins to write down all of the accounts of what is happening with Paul in for the book of Acts. And so by Paul changing direction and following God into what he doesn't know necessarily, he picks up Luke, and Luke begins to write down what we are now reading and are encouraged by and transformed by and corrected by and called by. And we wouldn't have that if Paul was following himself. Here, because Paul is following God, we get something even more, because God is at work doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in every moment, not just this moment in the Bible, but in all of our moments. When we leave out of this studio and go back out into the world, God is at work and doing things. And the question I have for each one of us, all of us, is who are we following? Are we actively looking for where God is leading? Or are we like, God, I got good plans. I got this taken care of. Watch me go. And God goes to the Holy Spirit. He goes, let's watch him go, because we're going to have to pick him up soon. Any last thoughts?
Well, I wrote down one of the things you said, Pastor Jason, where God guides, he provides. And let that be an exhortation for everyone tuned in this morning, that as you pray up for the Lord to order your steps this very day, or maybe you're praying it in the evening and you work a night shift, ask the Lord to guide and to lead you. And where he guides and leads you, there will be those divine opportunities to proclaim the good news message, to model it, to show love, to extend care, to be his witnesses. And hopefully, as they see you acting in the ways of Jesus, they'll say, we know you, who you're following. You're one of those Christians, aren't you? Hopefully, that would be an indictment we'd all have.
Yeah. I'll close with this. The passage says this: therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. I read a commentary recently that said this, they sailed straight. Is actually a nautical term, meaning that the wind was at their backs. That this journey that normally would have taken 5 days, it only took 2 days because God was providing and willing them to get there.
Well, may he do that for us all today. May he put wind in our sails also and put us in those places where we can bring healing, hope, and encouragement, sharing that good news message of Jesus. And speaking of a good news message on Jesus, for those of you that can join us tomorrow for our Pacific Garden tour, watch Unshackled be produced, have dinner, and attend a great worship service, there's still room on our two motor coaches, one leaving Champaign with a stop in Paxton, and the other deluxe motor coach leaving Springfield with a stop in Lincoln. If you want to join us, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org. And right on the homepage, click on the photo of the Pacific Garden Mission. I hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.